our promise of comfort and forgiveness this morning, having been reminded of our baptisms from God's Word, 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 to 21. These words are for those who are in Christ Jesus. 1 John 5, 13 to 21. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God in eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. The congregation, rise and hear the good news. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ suffered and died for you. And God promises all those united to Jesus Christ through baptism, holding fast by faith the victory of the Son, the forgiveness of the Father, and the glory and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us sing joyfully unto the Lord our God for the salvation that we have in His Son, Jesus Christ. God's will for life is this morning from Proverbs chapter 13, 1 through 12. Proverbs 13, 1 through 12, this is the word of our Lord. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. From the fruit of his lips a man enjoys good things, but the unfaithful have a craving for violence. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. Righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. One man pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another man pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. A man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor man hears no threat. The light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money, little by little, makes it grow. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? Our good and gracious God and Father in heaven, suffer not that in any way we set you aside and put our trust or confidence in princes or in the children of men. But let us continually have all our trust and confidence fixed upon you. For unto such as do, you are a sure rock and refuge. Lead, Lord, those who walk in darkness unto your light. Deliver the oppressed. Enlarge your kingdom, which all your chosen children who are redeemed by the blood of your Son most earnestly thirst for. And for the same, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Speak to us now, Lord, in your word by your Spirit. Give us understanding. Move our hearts with love. Move our souls with zeal and joy, that we may proclaim your goodness, your greatness, your love, your glory, and serve you in the world where you have placed us. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together and sing. As our sermon text this morning is from Isaiah chapter 11. Verses 1 through 10. Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Isaiah 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of a cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. This morning is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and our opening reading, our call to worship in the hymnal, was entitled, Messiah Brings the Kingdom. Messiah Brings the Kingdom. In Advent, we celebrate the coming of the King, Jesus the Christ. And the King first came to his firstborn, the nation of Israel. In this morning's prophecy from Isaiah 11, we see God's concern for his people Israel. But not simply Israel. Not simply that tiny strip of land in the Middle East. We see God's concern for the whole world. The creation that he so loves. The Son of God came to save all peoples. Not just Israel, but all peoples. Now, in the time of Isaiah, the situation in Israel was one of faithlessness to the Lord. Faithlessness. The people had broken covenant with God. The leadership had apostatized. The kings were not following after their father, David. And that's what we have in the image of the stump, is the leadership of Israel, the stump of Jesse. Boys and girls, does anyone know who Jesse was? Dean. Father of David. Is that what you guys were going to say? All right. Jesse was King David's father. So the stump of Jesse points to the Davidic kingship. The throne that God promised and would establish forever. But as you read through 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, you read that they had bad kings who did not follow after the way of their father David. And they had led the people astray. So for their faithlessness, God promised judgment. Judgment for the throne and judgment for the people. and he brought the nation of Assyria as that instrument of judgment. The nation of Israel, or the nation of Assyria, was the axe that chopped down the tree. Assyria, God used to chop down Israel. But our God responds to darkness with light. He responds to death with resurrection. The judgment of the chopping down of the tree, the resulting stump, God promises a shoot. A promised shoot. The bringing forth of the righteous king. The king for whom the people were waiting. Waiting to come. And this king would come in the power of the Spirit. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of understanding and wisdom, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This king would come with righteousness and faithfulness. He would come in the fear of the Lord. This king would rule with the rod of his mouth, and he would slay the wicked. And this same king, this promised king for whom they were waiting, would also bring peace. He would bring peace to creation. He would bring peace between God and mankind. He would bring peace between men. Reconciliation. Reconciliation, we can be reconciled to God because of this king. We can be reconciled with one another because of this promised coming king. Boys and girls, who is this promised coming king? Jesus. You say Jesus? Yeah, good job. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Messiah. He would come, and what would he bring with him? What did we read this morning? The kingdom. He would bring the kingdom to earth. Messiah brings the kingdom. And this is the focus of Advent. The coming of the king, the promised king. The king for whom the people and the whole world were waiting. Waiting for good reason. And this is the first part of Isaiah's prophecy. Verse 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The promised branch from David's line. Jesus the Messiah is the son of David. And he was promised to save. Promised to rule his people. So Isaiah's message here is, take comfort, Israel. Be strengthened in your faith, Judah. You've had bad kings. You've had bad leaders. God promises to send the true king. A good king. A perfect king. The promised king. This prophecy continues, and it has an unusual promise toward the end. We can understand what we've heard thus far this morning, the coming of the king, the shoot, the stump. We can see how that connects to David and the covenant God made with David. And we can see the power, the spirit of power with whom Christ came. We get that, right? Makes sense. We've been talking about the coming of Jesus two of the last three Sundays. But the prophecy ends with what? Animals. The coming of the king, and then all these animals as part of the prophecy. So what's that all about? Adults, think about that while the kids come forward for the children's message. Look nice. Well, good morning. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Okay, this is the fourth Sunday. I know we didn't have church last week, but the fourth Sunday of the season, who can raise their hand and tell us what season? Fourth Sunday of?
Jesus.
Jesus is always a good answer, but not what I'm looking for this time. Not Lord. Jesus is coming, and what's that word for coming, Lee? There's an A-D-Ed.
Advent.
Advent, very good. Advent, the coming of King Jesus. Okay, now I want to go back in the Bible all the way to the beginning. Who can raise their hand and tell me who were our first parents? Do you know?
My mommy and Daddy.
Yeah, I thought you'd say mommy and daddy. Yep. Okay. Who were our first parents? Not quite. Think back to the garden. Adam and Eve, very good. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were our first parents.
I know it.
What was it, Raven?
Advent.
I was looking for Advent a couple questions ago. All right. Adam and Eve. God made Adam first, and he put him in the garden. And Adam was all alone. Was that a good thing, or was that a bad thing? Adam was... Show me with your thumbs. Good thing Adam was all by himself, all alone, or bad thing that he was all alone? Show me with your thumb. With your thumb. Okay, if your thumb is down, you're right. God said it is not good for Adam to be alone. Okay? So then he taught Adam something. God was a teacher to Adam, the son of God. And God took animals and he brought them to Adam. Adam gave the animals their names. Who can raise their hand and tell us? He brought the animals in what number?
One by one.
Not one by one. Lee, help him out. Two by two. So you brought two by two. So raise your... show me with your fingers. How many elephants did he bring in front of Adam? Show me with your fingers. How many elephants?
One.
Well, two by two. So you should show me two.
Two.
How many tigers did he bring by? How many Komodo dragons? How many duckbill platypuses? Two. Two, right? And there was a boy duckbill platypus, and there was a girl duckbill platypus. And there was a boy elephant, and there was a girl elephant. And there was a boy tiger, and there was a girl tiger. And Adam said, I'm a boy. What's missing?
A girl.
A girl. He needed a girl. So God taught Adam, it's not good to be alone. You need a girl. And he's, voices off, and he taught him with the animals. So I want you guys to put in your brains, I want you to picture, use your imagination, this line of animals, two by two by two by two, waiting to walk in front of Adam. Now, I want you to imagine, were the animals fighting, or were they getting along? Raise your hand. Just don't blurt it out. Are they fighting or getting along? Getting along. Raise your hand if you agree. You think the animals were getting along?
Yeah.
Yeah. That the fox wasn't trying to eat the chicken? No. No. Okay, hands down. Anyone have an idea? Raise your hand on why the animals were getting along? This is kind of a tricky question. Evan? They all ate vegetables. So what did they not eat, Evan? They didn't eat meat. And God called that paradise. Can you believe it? Salad every meal. And that was paradise. Okay. But they all ate vegetables. They didn't eat each other because what hadn't come into the world yet? Dean? Sin. Sin brings death. They're basically on a diet. Yeah, right. But it must have been pretty good fruit and veggies, right? Okay, but here's the point. Can I see your eyes? Sin was not in the world yet in the garden. So the animals were all getting along. Sin makes us fight. Sin makes us kill. Sin makes us hurt and destroy. But who saved us from our sins? Noah? Jesus. So instead of doing this, can we get along now? Can we love each other because of Jesus? Okay. We don't have to fight. We don't have to kill. Okay? So let's thank God for that. Okay? Fold your hands. Fold your hands. Close your eyes. You too. Yeah. And repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and sending your Son Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to love you and to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. All right, kids, head back. You like that? All right, so I left you with the unusual promise of the animals. Because of the coming of Christ, he will bring peace, right? That was part of our call to worship, the Prince of Peace. He will bring peace that would manifest itself in animals getting along. This actually reminds, as I was looking at the text and writing my sermon, anyone seen the movie Ghostbusters? Anybody? No, you didn't. You haven't seen Ghostbusters. A couple? Okay. So the rest of you, this example will go right over your heads. Toward the end of the movie, the ghosts have taken over the city, and the mayor won't let the Ghostbusters do their job, so they're trying to scare him into letting them go get the ghosts. And they're giving him this list of doomsday predictions of things that will happen if they don't get rid of these ghosts. And they say, we'll see earthquakes, we'll see volcanoes, we'll see people rising from the dead, human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. So that was a doomsday prediction, dogs and cats living together. Actually, Jesus' reign would bring peace to the animals, and that would be a good thing. It would be a blessing to creation. It would be a fruit of the kingdom coming to the earth. As mentioned to the children, animals were made to be at peace. There was no bickering, no fighting in line, as Adam named the animals. But sin corrupted everything in creation. Sin corrupted everything in creation. And Jesus restores that. So the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion with the yearling together. A little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Can you picture a bear out in the pasture eating grass? Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of a cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. Now, you hear that. You hear me explain it to the children. That only seems far-fetched if we're living according to the flesh, if we're looking with fleshly eyes. Because if Jesus came to make all things new, why wouldn't he restore animal relationships? If he makes all things new, why wouldn't the animals be made new as they were in the garden? Why wouldn't he bring them back to those relationships? I mean, we probably have pictures or storybook Bibles at home, and you have the picture of the ark. Before the flood, what do you see going into the ark? Animals being paraded, two by two, into the ark. Doesn't say Noah was a great shepherd with miraculous talents. That can only be accomplished by the Spirit of God, bringing all those animals into the ark. So why would it be impossible that because of Jesus coming, dying and rising again, ascending to heaven, sending down His Spirit, the Spirit through space and through time, restoring animal relationships? Why is that impossible? Only if you're looking by the flesh does that seem crazy. Only if you don't have faith like a child does that seem crazy. Boys and girls, raise your hand if you believe that the animals will be restored to a peaceful relationship. All right, so the kids are on board with it. Now, it didn't happen right away in the birth of Christ. It didn't happen right away with his death and resurrection. We still see animals enmity with one another and enmity with human beings. But the kingdom of God grows like a mustard seed, which means it starts very small. Over time, the Spirit will work. And we can picture a day in the future where animals will be at peace. Now, in Scripture, the Spirit also speaks of the Gentile nations being animals, beastly images. The famous prophecy in Daniel 7, Daniel sees these four beasts come out of the sea. And these beasts represent kingdoms. You see a lion, that was Babylon. A bear, that was the Medo-Persian Empire. Ancient Greece with Alexander the Great, that was a leopard. And then the great beast was Rome. So the Gentile nations are also represented as animals. So this prophecy in Isaiah can also be heard as the peace that Christ brings will be for the nations. The Gentile nations will be converted. They will be discipled. And the gospel of the kingdom of God will go forth and bring peace between nations that have not always gotten along. Because that kingdom started small. Jesus all by himself. Is that good? No, but his disciples deserted him. But it started with Jesus, and then it started with 12 guys on the Mount of Olives. And like a mustard seed, this kingdom has grown to, you know how many Christians there are in the world? Over 2 billion. In 2,000 years since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church has grown from 12 disciple apostles to over 2 billion people. How's that kingdom? Is it growing? 2,000 years, 2 billion people? That's pretty good. The largest religious group in the world. And continuing over time, more people in the nations will be converted and discipled. Through time, we've had Europe having Christian values. North America, the nations with Christian values. Africa, South America, Asia, they're being converted, they're being discipled. Even communist nations like China. The Christians are outnumbering the communists. Who would have thought that would happen? And this is where we see the fruit of the Great Commission, where nations are discipled by the Holy Spirit and Christ's church. This morning we baptized a new Christian, a Gentile Christian, with Gentile Christian parents, who have peace with each other, in a church of Gentile Christians. From a biblical standpoint, in our sin, we ought to be beasts. We ought to be beastly with one another. We ought to be war with each other, fight each other, kill each other. That's how we ought to be in our sin, in our unbelief. But by the grace of God, we are baptized into Christ. We're made right with God. We're made right with one another. And we can have fellowship. We can have good relationships. After the service, we can go have Christmas cookies and coffee and sit at a table and have fellowship. We don't have to devour each other. And this is only because Jesus came to die and rise again. The fact that you're not killing each other right now, and I have to be in the back flicking the lights on and off, telling you to knock it off, is because of Jesus. Because he died and rose again. That we can get along because of that. Peter and Ashley and the church have the responsibility to teach the gospel of God's grace to Brooklyn and Peter Jr. We have the responsibility to live in fellowship with our fellow man. We have the responsibility to serve the kingdom of God and to be discipled. And by the grace of the Holy Spirit, for them and for all of us, we grow in this. Faith starts small, but the Spirit grows it. Over time, we see more and more of this in the church and our families throughout the world. We see the peace that God gives us. I want to give you a real life example. Has anyone heard of the missionaries Jim and Elizabeth Elliot? Jim and Elizabeth Elliot. Okay. In the 50s, Jim Elliot and some other missionaries went down to the area of Ecuador to bring the gospel to the Huarani people. And I might be mispronouncing that name. They tried to establish a relationship with these tribes people. They gave them gifts. They tried to talk to them, learn their language. And out of nowhere, the Huarani people killed these missionaries, Jim Elliot and his friends. For no reason. They didn't raise weapons up against them. They tried to be peaceful with them in relationship. So back home, Jim Elliot's widow, Elizabeth, guess what she did? She became a missionary, and where did she go? To those guys. Down to Ecuador. She was actually taken prisoner, and she got to see how these people live. And she described them as savages. They live like savages. Wouldn't you have to be a savage to murder people who are being nice to you? people who are giving gifts to you? Wouldn't you have to be completely depraved in your sin to do that? What kind of normal person forgives them and brings the gospel to them after murdering your spouse? Who signs up for that? You'd have to be changed, right? You'd have to be living a new life. You'd have to know Jesus Christ and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So you see in Elizabeth Elliot and you see in the tribespeople the contrast. Someone living like a true human being is supposed to live as God created us, and you see people living beastly, savage lives. The gospel goes forth, and those beastly people hear about Jesus Christ. And in the flesh, they aren't converted. In the flesh, the gospel doesn't make sense. We're fools for believing this stuff, right? But through time, people are changed. And you see savage people converted, which we all are in our sin, savage. And we're made to be godly people because of the grace of the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, where we'd expect to see enmity between people, between animals, we see peace. We see fellowship. We see love for one another because of Jesus, because the Son of God came in the flesh to restore and reconcile, to make all things new. And we praise Him for it. Amen. Let us pray.